It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
First, the word was liberal. Then, the phrase became politically correct. Now, the word woke suggests a whole host of so-called progressive ideas that our country needs to wake up to and embrace. The titles politically correct and woke have more or less become interchangeable, but what we really should wake up from is the delusion that any of this poisonous brainwashing is correct politically or otherwise. I'm Bob Siegel. You wonder why so many frown upon the word liberal. What in the world is wrong with being a liberal? You always thought of that as a good word. Well, my friend, actually, that is a good word if we're just looking at the word itself. Nothing's wrong with being a liberal as far as what that word literally means. It's just that the meanings of words tend to take on new associations in the wide panorama of history progression. Several years ago, I wrote and published a piece of satire for my column. It was called The Liberal Manifesto, kind of a play on words, a parody mimicking the style of serious works such as The Communist Manifesto and The Socialist Manifesto. While satire has its humorous moments, my purpose was to present irony and cause people to reconsider their liberal positions by recognizing that almost every standard they adhered to directly contradicted another standard that they also claimed to embrace. Now, over the years, I have republished this column several times, updating it along the way. The reason is obvious. I don't need to tell you. You can guess. Newer positions, increasingly more hideous positions, had to get added to the list because I was watching the news. And these positions had even greater contradictions. Well, today I present my latest version of the Liberal Manifesto, even more updated. I call this making the obvious obvious, and despite the tongue-in-cheek fashion, my purpose really is to challenge and educate, not to make anybody feel bad. If it helps, there are bad values on this list that I once embraced back before I became a Christian, and when I say that, I'm not saying that all Christians reject today's liberalism, or all Christians would agree with me. They don't. They should, but they don't. I don't mean that they should agree with me. I mean that they should agree with the values in the Bible that are being contradicted around us by our culture. On the other hand, there are many people who resist liberalism, and they're not Christian at all. So I'm not here to say that Christians are smarter than anyone else. Believe me, I know a lot of intelligent people who are not religious. And I know a lot of stupid Christians, frankly. But again, I myself have done stupid things too. So let's just say that today's show is a chance for all of us to reason together, learn and grow together. Before I begin, back to that term liberal. Actually, in the most technical sense, I consider myself to be a liberal, that is a true liberal in the historic idea, in the generic usage of the word, one who marches to the beat of a different drum and does not always follow the pack, one who challenges the conventional wisdom most people have accepted without analysis, simply because it comes from staple institutions like college or the media. Unfortunately, that definition, although good, has changed. Today, the term liberal is being used to describe the status quo, the politically correct, other virtues offered up as sacred values taken for granted and portrayed like the only clear, sensible positions. Such people discourage debate and resort to name-calling when they're asked to authenticate their so-called facts. In other words, the term liberal no longer really means liberal. Truth be told, today's liberals should call themselves conservative. Now, nobody likes that word either. Conservative, you think of that word, you think of some old fuddy-duddy. But I got to tell you, what liberals stood for in the 1960s, conservatives are standing for now, for the most part at least. If we really wanted to search for a name that sounded better than conservative and still caught the heart of the older liberalism, the word libertarian comes closest, with their views of less government, more freedom. I actually relate to a good deal of what libertarians stand for, but I do feel that on some issues they push a little too much for freedom. Freedom sounds great, but when it gets pushed to the point where other people's rights and other people's freedoms are being challenged, it becomes a problem. Although, to be fair to my libertarian friends, there's a spectrum. Not all libertarians are in agreement with every issue. Not all libertarians are in agreement with each other on everything, just as not all conservatives are in agreement with each other. Not all Republicans are in agreement with each other. For myself, I resonate to some degree with all three of them, Republicans, conservatives, libertarians. But I suppose the term that best describes me is independent, and I'm registered as an independent politically. Unfortunately, ideas that today are being hailed as liberal are really falling under the philosophy of Marxism, if you look at what they're actually calling for, if you look at what they really want to do. And yet, those who today call themselves liberal usually resist words such as Marxist. Interestingly enough, until recently, they even resisted the word socialist just a few years ago. If you called a Democrat or any liberal a socialist, they accused you of name-calling, demonization, and overreacting. Now, thanks to Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and a lot of college professors, people are wearing the title socialist as a badge of honor. And meanwhile, there are still people who are more classically liberal in terms of what they really believe. They're not really Marxist, but they align themselves in sincere ignorance to Marxist philosophy, not understanding the whole philosophy, but they resonate with its promises, promises to help the poor, promises to be against racism, promises being the operative word. They don't usually really deliver on any of that stuff. And others do honestly align themselves with Marxist philosophy, but they still resist the titles. Not the ideas, the titles. People are often a lot more interested in what they're being called and the way things sound and the way things appear. That's called symbolism over substance. Anyway, perhaps the best way to not get distracted, the best way to not judge books by their covers, is to find a label that simply encompasses the direction our country seems headed. And for that, I think I will go back to politically correct. For that reason, in this updated version, I am changing the name from Liberal Manifesto to Politically Correct Manifesto. This best describes people who are clinging to popular ideas, even if some of these so-called new ideas are old, resurfaced ideas. So now, imagine us taking all the PC talking points, all the things on the politically correct list that you're expected to believe, or at least most of them, a bunch of them, putting them on one list, and imagine if they were written out as one manifesto trying to make sense. That's what I put together in a tongue-in-cheek fashion. Of course, even if the style is satirical, I am very serious. No, I doubt that you will ever hear a liberal or a politically correct person by name describe himself or herself in exactly this fashion, but these are the honest sum totals of their connecting pillars with all the subtle contradictions. Naturally, with all human beings, there are exceptions and variations from individual to individual. I am critiquing the generalized thought, but my friends, exceptions to the rule ought not make us ignore the rule. Otherwise, the big elephant in the room is never confronted. My apologies to my Democratic friends for using a Republican mascot just now to make a point. I will be speaking in the first person as if I were the politically correct person writing this manifesto. And now, without further ado, the rewritten Liberal Manifesto, now called the Politically Correct Manifesto. Both words today really mean the same thing, but I'm just using a word that people might be more comfortable with. The Politically Correct Manifesto. Number one, we believe that notions of good and evil are outdated and should never be used, unless we're talking about Donald Trump, other Republicans or right-wing born-again Christians who are clearly responsible historically for almost every evil in the world. Point two of the politically correct manifesto. We are strong advocates of choice. We are the people of choice. Unless people want to choose their own schools, radio shows, cars, cigars, unhealthy food, healthcare providers, amount of energy to use in the home, salaries to pay employees, location for religious assembly, location for religious symbols, and the amount of money to leave their children in a will, we do continue to celebrate a woman's right to choose an abortion. But we also like the laws in China that limit how many children one can birth because too many people in the world contribute to global warming. So the one remaining choice is only a temporary one. Point three, we believe that having women on the Supreme Court offers necessary balance as women will always bring a perspective men cannot offer with important decisions that guide our country. On the other hand, when it comes to guiding children in a family atmosphere, we do not believe gender to be of any importance whatsoever. Indeed, a child with two fathers is going to be every bit as healthy as a child with a father and a mother. And in that case, female influence is non-essential to development and health. Point four, we believe in standing up for the rights of the weak and the disenfranchised. Unless we're talking about an unborn baby. Point five, we believe in tolerance. And those who are unwilling to tolerate the same lifestyles we tolerate should no longer be tolerated. Thus, we strongly advocate laws forbidding hate speech. And if those guilty of hate speech do not see their speech as hateful, it only means they are especially hateful and that their intolerance should be especially not tolerated. Point six of the PC Manifesto. We believe that as regards gay marriage, church and state should be completely separated. Christians have no right to pass laws about who can or cannot be married out in the secular world, and we therefore applaud the Supreme Court decision made a few years ago. Marriage in the church can be defined any way they want, so long as they do not impose that belief on the rest of us. However, we strongly support those who sue churches for refusing to marry gay couples because, after all, this is a civil rights issue and not a religious issue. Therefore, religious people should not be exempted. Point seven, as a specific example of our inclusive philosophy, we believe that when conservatives opposed President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, their only possible motive must clearly have been racism. It couldn't possibly have been for concerns about a judge who was going to legislate from the bench. However, and this is very important, when Democrats opposed Clarence Thomas and Alberto Gonzalez, race had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Point eight, in that same vein, we accept Judge Sotomayor's right to claim that a Latina woman will reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. Such a statement cannot be construed as racist because people of color do not have the power. Even though this woman, as a Supreme Court judge, has kind of sort of had a lot of power for years. Meanwhile, should a white judge ever claim that a white man can rule better than a Latina woman, we will expose him as the sexist, racist, bigoted vermin he truly is. Point nine, we believe that all rich people are evil, with the exception of rich Democrat politicians, George Soros, Michael Moore, or any left-wing Hollywood activist. Point 10, we believe religion should be left out of any political discussion, separation between church and state. Religion does not belong in any political discussion unless some Democrat politician wants to say that Jesus would have accepted illegal immigration, or some gay Episcopal priest wants to talk about how the Bible teaches that God is loving and tolerant. In those cases, religion is a very appropriate ingredient to bring into the mix. Catching on? Point 11. We believe intelligent design does not belong in the classroom due to, once again, church and state legalities. Therefore, intelligent design should not be put forth even as a theory to be discussed. We also believe that if an instructor wants to talk about how stupid it is to believe in God, he should be allowed. Separation between church and state does not apply in that situation. Point 12. When a professor such as Ward Churchill from a number of years ago compares the victims of 9/11 to Nazis, his speech, outrageous as it is, must be protected under the First Amendment. On the other hand, when the president of Harvard suggested that men and women tend to score differently on math tests, well, in that case, such talk should never have been allowed because, First Amendment put aside, the college campus must hold its staff to a higher standard. Besides, we know that men and women are not different at all about anything, even though, once again, women do bring a unique perspective to the Supreme Court. Point 13. We believe it is wrong for a mother to spank her child. That is child abuse. But if she wants to kill this child in the womb, that is her fundamental right. Point 14. We are very concerned about global warming, and those who would ask us to prove it scientifically should just get with the program and stop being so dog-darned argumentative. However, we will ask Christians to prove their belief in God scientifically, and if they can't, they have no place in our public dialogue. Indeed, they pollute our public dialogue. Oh, yes. And if Christians claim they can prove God scientifically, if they claim they can do that, well, then they should be especially banned from public dialogue. Never mind that we asked them to prove God. Never mind that we asked. We only asked because we were sure they couldn't do it. Point 15. We believe that almost anything you can imagine and a lot of stuff you never would have dreamed up in a million years contributes to global warming, including Christmas lights, cow dung, cow emissions. But the private jets that Democrats fly around in to give lectures on global warming are not a problem. While we're on the subject of private jets, when Wall Street CEOs fly in such jets, they're evil. That is, they would be evil if such a thing existed, and in the cases of people we don't like, it does exist. See point one. Point 16 of the PC Manifesto. We believe that smaller cars will keep our atmosphere safer, even if accidents in such cars will kill a whole lot more people than big cars. People come and go, but the planet is what's important. Point 17. When a Muslim terrorist kills a person, we must not rush to judgment and condemn the entire religion of Islam. For this is a beautiful religion hijacked by a few nutcase terrorists, and one or two bad apples do not spoil the whole bunch. However, if a police officer shoots a black man claiming he resisted arrest, we automatically assume that this was done due to racism and that such racism permeates our police departments all over the country. Point 18. We believe America needs to have a serious conversation about race and admit that primarily we are a racist country where African Americans are unable to advance, even though we twice elected an African American president and have had two African American secretaries of state and two African American Supreme Court justices. Point 19. We liberals are proud of being more nuanced than conservatives. For example, we suggest that instead of merely wanting to destroy organizations like ISIS, we should find them jobs. And when we deny that their religion has anything to do with their objectives, even though they claim themselves that their religion is central to their objectives, well, these are nuanced arguments on our part, far too complex, far too complicated for those dumb country bumpkin conservatives to grasp. On the other hand, anyone who did not support or vote for Barack Obama was clearly a racist. It is simply impossible that they might have objected to his lies about Benghazi, lies about health care, rule by unconstitutional executive fiat, or deals with Iran in the face of Iran's proud boast to destroy both Israel and America. Nope, nope. If you dislike Obama, there is nothing nuanced about it. You are a racist, plain and simple. Ditto if you didn't vote for Hillary. Never mind the story she made up about her email server. You just can't handle a woman president. That's all. What? You say you supported Michelle Bachmann? You say you supported Carly Fiorina? You wanted them for president? Well, they don't count. Conservative women aren't true women. Oh, you say you also supported Ben Carson for president? You also supported Herman Cain for president? They didn't count either, dummy. They're not really black. They're Oreos, black on the outside, white on the inside. Point 20. If a Christian business will not cater a gay wedding, never mind all this free exercise of religion guaranteed under the First Amendment nonsense. Once again, this is now a civil rights issue. On the other hand, should a Muslim business refuse a request to cater a wedding with pork due to their religious convictions, just leave them alone. Haven't the poor Muslims been through enough trying to explain that Muslim terrorists are not really Muslims? We owe them one. Besides, it's a little less safe to confront Muslims than it is to confront Christians, but we won't go into those reasons because if we did, we would be guilty of hate speech. Point 21. We believe right-wing ideas are too stupid to even debate. That is why we do not debate them. We call right-wingers names instead because they deserve to be called names. Hitler is always a good one. Would you debate with a Nazi or with a Ku Klux Klan member? Of course not. Can we prove that all right-wing people are like the Nazis or the Klan? Well, no. To do that, we would have to have a debate, and we are not going to debate. Haven't you been paying attention? Point 21. We believe that we should obey our governors and mayors without hesitation when they put forth executive orders about lockdowns, sheltering in place, social distancing, masks, even the closing of churches, theaters, and businesses such as salons or fitness centers. After all, they are merely keeping us safe. On the other hand, when these same mayors and governors order the police to stand down and call for the defunding of police, we have no right to accuse them of not caring about our safety because all they are doing is allowing people to peacefully protest. Point 22, on that same subject, as for those who don't believe these protests are peaceful because of all the violence, we call your attention to the fact that this violence has a righteous cause, so it can't possibly be true violence. Indeed, those who call it violence, they are the violent ones. By the way, those who protest against their stores not being allowed to open up, well, in those cases, they are being rebellious. They should be put in jail because of COVID-19. On the other hand, convicted felons already in jail should be released because of COVID-19. Point 23. This is also related. We believe that policemen are good, decent, hardworking people who are just doing their jobs when they arrest a woman who defies orders and opens up her salon. But these same police are evil racists who should be defunded should they ever try to prevent shootings, beatings, and buildings being burnt down in the name of Black Lives Matter. Next point. We believe all Black Lives Matter, except for Black policemen, Black business owners whose buildings were burnt down, Black babies put to death in abortions, Black children being shot as a result of anarchy in the streets, and any Black conservatives. Once again, Black conservatives are not truly Black. And those, my friend, are only some of the points. Every time we turn on the news, there's more. That's why no matter how many times I try to update this, it is never completely current, at least not for more than a day or two. The PC woke agenda goes on. Race and gender continue to dominate the headlines. Those who are eager to indoctrinate your kids in the public school with critical race theory are just as eager to bring in the LGBTQ agenda. The idea is to make you feel like a racist if you object to any of it. Even the gender discussion, which really has nothing to do with race, which many civil rights leaders over the years have said has nothing to do with race. But those who have hijacked the narrative will claim that everything is about race as their PC woke manifesto continues. Check out these extra fun ones for size. All white people are racist no matter what they do. People of color can never be racist. White people are racist. They can try to tell us that they're not racist. They could try to prove that they're not racist. They can offer demonstrations and examples about why they're not racist. But don't you try any tricks to pretend you are not a racist. Even when a white couple adopts black children. Do you think that fools anyone? You don't love those kids. You only did that because you want to be a white colonizer. On the other hand, if white foster parents were offered a black baby and they said they preferred a white baby, whoa, only one reason for that. Don't try to get out of it by claiming you don't want to be a colonizer. You're just a racist through and through. That's why you didn't want a baby of color. And don't try to sell us on other things you like about cultures different than your own. White people can say they love the African-American culture or the Hispanic culture or the Asian culture, even to the point of imitating their styles. But that, my friend, is cultural appropriation. As a female student once learned by wearing an Asian dress to a dance. And white restaurant owners are also learning if they want to cook ethnic food. Only Mexicans should own Mexican restaurants. Only Chinese should own Chinese restaurants. However, and this is very important, if we want to imitate third world cultures by eating bugs and insects, well, that is not cultural appropriation, because that will save the planet from global warming. Just don't you dare be white and say you identify with being black. Not that you can't identify at all. If you're a man identifying with being a woman, well, who are we to judge? On the subject of men and women, when men are accused by women, the women are to be immediately believed, and the men are to be immediately found guilty, as so many of our U.S. senators reminded us when Brett Kavanaugh was nominated to the Supreme Court and accused of sexual advances by a woman. Of course, had Kavanaugh claimed he really was a woman, that he identified with being a woman and therefore could not have been lying because he was really a woman, well, we're too smart. What do you think we've become? A country of idiots? No, just a country of woke people. In fact, we're too woke to even use pronouns such as he or she in public places. We no longer say father and mother in the classroom. At Disneyland, they no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, okay? Of course, if a man is calling himself she, or a woman is calling herself he, then the pronouns are very appropriate. And that's all. In the name of tolerance, free thought, open discussion, personal choice, and sound reason, we, the undersigned, do proudly uphold this latest incarnation of the politically correct manifesto. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of irony, a lot of satire, but also a lot of truth and hopefully a lot to think about.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, I hate to say this live on the air, like breaking the fourth wall, but you did send an email saying, I'm sending you something that I've played like a couple months ago, but man, does it hold true. Boy, you're not kidding.
Yeah, I've continued with this manifest over the years and have continued updating it. The last time I updated it was winter of 2023, but was pretty fresh.
It just gets worse.
It just gets worse.
Yeah. I know. It's such a shame to see where our country is in political correctness
these days. I think there's just something shocking about seeing all those issues lined up like that and how they contradict themselves. I'm just hoping that in a satirical way, people can just be shocked into some sense.
You know, there's some people that just say like, well, we shouldn't try to repeat history. Well, then this is the perfect example. We need to make sure that we can open our eyes and try to fix this issue. But apparently some people, they're just too blinded by where they are now at this point in their either their political eyes or in their social eyes these days. So it's just a shame. Just a shame. All right. So today for the news stories I have for you, I want to start off with something local here. Rent is still a huge issue here in San Diego. I saw that there was a recent story out in Hillcrest where there was a person that bought out some apartment complexes and like a corporate business, and they doubled the rent of this person.
They have to honor the leases that the previous owner had in place when they buy? I always thought they had to.
Yes. So in this story, the lease was up and they were going to renew. However, I don't know if this is legal or because it's a brand new ownership.
It's happening in California. It's probably not legal.
It's probably, yeah.
Just a wild guess.
See, so this new complex situation where some new corporate offices now own this particular complex, they raised this person's rent from $2,800 to $4,800.
Oh my God.
I have no clue if that's, because I thought the law says you can only raise it by 10% per year. So in this case, they could only raise it by another $280. But I'm going to guess because it's a brand new complex company that owns that complex, I'm going to guess they can reset everyone's rent.
For years and years and years before I was finally able to buy a home. And I did feel like I was just throwing my money away because at least when you have a mortgage,
yes,
high as the mortgage may be, you know you're making an investment.
Absolutely.
Every month. But the first place I rented when I was first married, and this goes way back to the 70s, was out in Arizona. They had people called snowbirds that live on the East Coast or the Midwest, places where it's just frozen over the wintertime. Mm-hmm. So they're wealthy. They would move to Arizona and then the owners of the apartments would jack up the rent so that those living in the apartments would have to move out. The snowbirds would come and stay there just for the winter so they could have a warm winter in Arizona. Then when they left, the rent would go back down again. It was just a travesty.
I bet.
And now, I don't know how people who do that even sleep at night.
No, but now the government's trying to have a little bit more control over these situations, but landlords are still fighting over this whole thing. I know it's a huge thing that's been going on for months and months and months now as of late for this whole rent issue.
Well, you know the solution, Brendan. Leave the state, come back over illegally, tell them you're illegal, and they won't charge you a darn thing for the apartment.
If you want a serious answer, over at San Diego State was Charlie Kirk. He answered a student's question to this exact issue. How do we make this situation stop? We have to have multimillionaires stop buying these cheaper houses so that way they could jack up everybody else's neighborhoods in terms of how much the neighborhood can cost in order
to live.
Well,
of course, in a free enterprise system, you can't tell people what they're allowed to buy or not buy. I would just hope we could influence the society enough that the conscience could kick in.
Possibly. But what I think Charlie Kirk was trying to suggest is maybe a limit situation. So you are allowed to own so many houses, but you can't exceed this amount. I'm assuming that's
kind of like what they were doing with business and monopolies.
Exactly. Yeah. So in this case, it's kind of similar in that case with specifically home ownership.
There's a tension. Values can be in tension with each other at times because we believe in the free market system, and yet there is this thing called greed.
Yes.
And so there is a tension at times.
Okay. So in this story, it's telling us that the rise in rent is slowing down a little bit. However, San Diego is still the 11th most expensive city to live in for renters. I'm not surprised. Personally, I had to pay back in the day. I was at $2,400 now at that point to pay for rent. And my wife and I looked at each other and we said, this is not a good future right now for us to try to save money for our son. So we're just going to move in back with my parents currently, which we are doing. And we are saving so much money off of it.
But does that put a strain on your marriage having to do that?
So far, no.
Oh, good. That's good.
My parents.
Probably depends on your family and how well you get along.
Yeah. And the in-law situation is so fantastic. I love my in-laws.
Oh, good.
She loves the in-laws, which are my parents. So we are just very happy
so far.
That's
good. Now, you know, the other side of this is if someone doesn't pay their rent and the landlord wants to evict them, good luck. It's almost impossible to evict somebody these days. So you have a problem on the other end, too.
Exactly. Because, again, we talked about it before. Our government moves slowly. The higher up you go, the more slowly the government's going to keep working.
Yeah, we've talked about this. People can't even evict squatters who just move into their apartments while they're away on vacation.
Exactly, exactly. So in here, it's talking about how the housing markets in the South and the West are seeing slowdown and rental increases, including in San Diego. Rental growth in San Diego was flat, off 0.1% in July, according to a report by apartmentlist.com, compared to a 0.2% increase nationwide. As far as cost goes, that translates to local rents rising by 2.3% in just a year span. And then they also mentioned how from January to July of this year, it increased by 4%. So they're even more specifically, rent is going higher and higher. So if you look at an expanded point, it looks not that small, but if you zoom in even closer, it is expanding pretty quickly. So right now, four of the top five are cities located in California. I'm not surprised. They include Irvine, San Jose, Fremont, and San Francisco, which, once again, who would really want to live in San Francisco? It's disgusting.
Yeah, it was once considered the most beautiful city in the world.
Yeah. So regional rents are also elevated. This story included Chula Vista specifically. Their average cost for a one bedroom is about $1,700, specifically $1,731. And for a two bedroom, it's $2,265. I wish I had that, but I don't want to live in Chula Vista personally. I think it's too south of where I need to work. And also on top of that, I hear the safety issues in that area are still trying to be worked on in that particular area. So I lived out in the Santee area where I feel a little bit more safe.
I lived in Santee for years. It was pretty safe out there.
And so the most affordable rent in the region is reported to be in El Cajon, where the median rent is about $1,400-ish for a one-bedroom apartment, specifically $1,398. And then for a two-bedroom is $1,714, which is a two-bedroom situation. But once again, one of the biggest issues in El Cajon, mind you, it has to do with the homelessness issue. And homelessness is rampant all over El Cajon. You know, it was Bill Wallace that just passed away recently. He was from UCLA. He was a huge, huge proponent against, there was this hotel that was going to be turned into a homeless center.
And he objected to that.
He objected to it because that would raise drug increase in that area. And
anything that enables behavior is bad.
Yes, exactly. So is there a solution to the homelessness issue? Of course, there will be one day eventually, but El Cajon is still trying to fix that issue. And again, rent is always going to be an issue for a lot of people here in San Diego. Hopefully at some point we're going to have some affordable housing, but at what cost? I don't know. It's going to take a while because anywhere we try to build new neighborhoods, there's protests saying, don't do that. That's environmentally unfriendly. And don't put it over
here. I was about to say global warming again as a joke, and then you said it seriously. Yeah, everything contributes to global warming.
Everything, exactly. We talked about earlier at the top of the hour, there was a news story saying there was another fire. They were reporting the same fire where they called it a dry lightning strike happened in this area. What was that due to? Because we had a really wet winter. Where did that wet winter come from? I don't think global warming says it things dry up because of our pollution, not because it gets wet even more in winter season. But
newsflash, scientists concur, heat causes warming.
Moving on to my next story. This is a huge, huge story going on now. Chevron, after 145 years in California, is now relocating their headquarters to Texas.
I just can't imagine why.
I can't imagine either. But here's the thing. So California still is the seventh largest producer of oil among all 50 states. That surprises me a bit because I thought we were much lower than that since we are trying to get away from crude oil in general, I thought. But we're still high up there anyways. I do know that around the mid-1980s, is when we were down to only about 2% of the U.S. total, it says in the story, which makes a lot more sense because that was when we started to click and say, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this oil thing because we're hurting the environment. Chevron is the second largest U.S. oil company based in San Ramon. They did not respond to any requests for interviews that Friday when they made the initial announcement. They just stated in a public sense that they said that they were going to move to Texas, which would allow the company to co-locate with senior leaders and enable better collaboration and engagement with executives, employees, and business partners. That's what their public statement is. Personally, I think California continues to handicap us every single step of the way, and we can't seem to get our business going very well here. So in this case, let's go to a state where actually things are doing well in the oil industry for us. Texas, and it makes sense to me. Perfect sense. I wanted to bring up also that last fall, California's attorney general sued Chevron and several other big oil companies, alleging that their production and refining operations have caused billions of dollars in damage and that they were deceiving the public about the risk of fossil fuels and global warming. Chevron's chief executive, Mike Wirth, has pushed against the suit and California's approach to climate change, saying the planet warming is a global issue and that piecemeal legal actions aren't helpful. I can agree on that part. You're just basically hindering your economy by kicking out Chevron, in my opinion.
But when we say that we're not going to drill for fossil fuel, but we buy from other countries that drill for fossil fuel, isn't it the same planet?
Yes.
Isn't it contributing supposedly to the same global warming? This is all such a crock.
I know.
It's
I
just
agree.
An excuse to control people's lives.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just don't agree with it in the slightest. Again, oil is something that is essential still. I know as much as California wants to push zero emissions, how many millions of people are driving engine cars still to this day? Oil is still essential to not only just Californians here, but to America's economy still.
And can you imagine what it's going to be like with all battery cars?
No, it's going to be even worse for
the environment.
Yeah, it's worse for the environment. Lithium batteries, last time I looked it up, it takes over 100 years for lithium batteries to decompose. That's horrendous. Do you think that's helping? And don't get me started on the whole going to the lakes and trying to get the lithium out of the water too, because you're just hurting the environment even more on top of that. So
plus the fact that you can't drive more than an hour or two before you have to recharge it for a couple of hours. It's just a nightmare.
I think we're now at the average of like 230 miles to drive an electric car.
There was some place in the country that were just pouring millions and millions of dollars into it, and they built like 3 or 4 electric stations.
Yes. You know what the other thing too I want to mention too is that now a lot of foreign markets are getting into America's car manufacturing thing with the electric, because when it came to engines, we were very hard on those companies. Oh, your car causes too much smog. We're not going to even think about bringing you over and allowing you to import your cars into America. With any electric vehicle, now they're all coming in free market-wise, and that's just hurting American car companies left and right. Look at Lucid. Look at Rivian. They're all hurting economically so badly. They're throwing money down the toilets, and they're having to let go employees left and right, and this whole electric car situation has now become such a competitive market at this point that American car companies aren't going to have a chance to even compete.
Yeah, I think the best solution was the hybrid car.
Absolutely.
You're using less gas. Also, if somebody wants an electric car to drive locally, to drive to work, and then they have a charger back at their house, that's fine. You can't take long trips on them.
You know what makes me so upset too? I went to a city meeting and they were mentioning how there's some car chargers over in their local parks, and all of them are against it. They all just got it because they can get funding from the state just for that reason. So basically, you're just going against everything of your own policies to just go ahead and say, oh no, we're just wanting to get
extra money. I still remember the same week that Newsom announced that by 2035, we were going to be on all electric cars. He was also asking people that already owned electric cars to not drive this week.
Yes.
Because we're having problems with the grid. You just had to see the irony of
that. I know. Or even more so, Newsom said, so those of you who turned in your rebate forms, unfortunately, we're going to have to lower those rebates now.
We want you all to have an electric car. However, don't drive them.
So going back to the story, this is following when Elon Musk said he was moving SpaceX from California to Texas, when over the last decade, there were been scores over other California companies in tech and other industries that have fled from the state, not to mention celebrities who've mentioned it's just too expensive
this
to live
here. This is sad. Elon Musk has even taken outer space away from California. Only Texas has outer space now.
And this is whose fault specifically? Gavin Newsom's. Honestly.
Well, with all Gavin of his Newsom and all the stooges around him. Let's not forget them.
Now, Gavin Newsom did respond to this. You want to hear his response?
Oh, I can't wait.
Here we go. He was downplaying the significance of Chevron's relocation and highlighted the growth and opportunities in clean energy for California. And he said that he's already in the process of making 6 times more of the jobs than in the fossil fuel employment. In the process, mind you, A. And B, they're not even in the same sector as fossil fuels, what you're talking about. These 6 times the job are in other factories of the workplace, and specifically maybe in communications
or advertising. These politicians, they don't really care about this stuff. They're just speaking to certain constituents.
Yeah, if you say the happy words of, no, we're making more jobs. What kind of jobs? Oh, they're not in my realm. Well, then why are you saying that in the first place then, in that case, Gavin? The last thing I wanted to mention too is, did you know that Chevron started as a California company back in the day?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were known as the Pacific Coast Oil Company.
Oh, that's right. I remember that phrase, the Pacific Coast Oil
Company. Yeah, it was in San Francisco, of all places, and it was later known as the Standard Oil of California. It rode the drilling boom in Los Angeles in the early 1900s when big oil fields were discovered in places like Long Beach and Santa Fe Springs, spurring the region's industrial development, but also creating increasing concerns about its impact on especially working-class neighborhoods with uncontrolled gushers, fires, oil spreads, and yada, yada, yada. But basically, it all started here in California, and you're kicking out now a California-made, California product out of the state into Texas.
It's we need to play that song if you're going to San Francisco. It would be so appropriate.
Do you know the way to
San Jose? Do you know the way to San Jose? There's another one. Yeah.
I was going to do one more commercial, but we actually are running out of time here. So I'm
going
to quickly get into this last story here. I don't feel like we get enough international news, so I'm going to read this one very quickly. Currently, there is a protest going on in Bangladesh, and the recent reports of last night's protest, nearly 100 people have been killed, and there are hundreds more that have been injured by a renewed anti-government protest that's sweeping across that nation. Protesters are calling for the prime minister to resign, and the prime minister accusing them of sabotage. And also, the prime minister has announced that they have cut off all mobile internet until further notice.
Oh, great. Censorship.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I know there's both Muslims and Hindus in India, although when they redistributed things, they kind of created the nation of Pakistan right in the middle. So is this mostly Muslims or mostly Hindus, or is this a non-religious protest?
I think this is a non-religious protest, because this has to deal with currently the Awami League party that's in government right now. And all those that are protesting currently are specifically the Bangladesh Nationalist Party and the Jamaat-e-Islami Party. So
what has this party been doing that the people have found so troublesome?
It says here specifically, well, first off, the prime minister has taken this completely the wrong way in the first place with the censorship, but also saying that these protesters are in sabotage of the country, and these are no longer students, but now criminals. And she also mentioned that these people should be dealt with iron hands, specifically. Those were her exact direct quotes. You're just adding fuel to the fire at this point by making those direct quotes. But specifically, this protest comes around the fact that the government officially put in a new rule saying that it's something similar to what happened here in San Diego, where it said here that they're implementing a quota system where 30% of government jobs have to be by families of veterans who have fought the Bangladesh War of Independence against the Pakistan in 1971. That is the new quota that they're putting in, and people feel like it is very unfair for those who refuse to get involved in the war in the first place, whether it be for religious reasons.
Right, and there's a lot of pacifist philosophy in Hinduism, not the least of which came from Gandhi himself.
Exactly. So, as of right now, it says here that the court systems in the actual country are all closed until further notice. There's also closures of schools and universities across the country, and there's a shoot-on-site curfew now, officially, with authorities over in that country for how serious these violent crimes have. Since I only have a little bit of time, I could just go over a few different ones. These protesters have attacked hospitals with sick people in them, and they have attacked government officials at their house.
See, at that point, as far as I'm concerned, they've lost their cause.
Exactly.
I don't even care what their cause is.
Exactly.
Anymore.
You're stepping too far. Now, do I agree with her shutting down the freedom of speech and, again, shutting down internets on phones or calling these people all these names and saying you have to deal with them with an iron fist? No, because, again, you're just going to add to the anger to these rioters. You need to find another way to make things a little bit more peaceful. One of the things that she did mention, she was going to try to do a talk with some of the protesters on Saturday. However, government officials couldn't control the protesters outside the building, that they had to evacuate the prime minister, and things got out of hand again on that day too. So it's just a shame to see this. This prime minister has been in office for 15 years now. This is her fourth consecutive term since January. Now it's time to really step up and use your powers and see what you could do. Instead of calling these people criminals, now it's time to go for a little bit more of a peaceful manner, because this has gone way out of hand for this whole situation, in my opinion. So our prayers to Bangladesh, and hopefully you guys can get a control of the situation, because obviously...
Absolutely. And it sounds like perhaps the protesters had some legitimate gripes originally, but then it's getting out of hand.
I will mention, too, the other part of these quotas, not including the family situation, 2% of the members that are in government jobs must be minorities, transgender or disabled people. Oh,
wonderful. So the woke stuff's gotten in over there
in their country
well.
As yeah. well, yeah. So obviously this is not going to end very well with some of those people over there too. If you're a transgender minority, a disabled person, because obviously now you're going to get attacked too at that same point because, oh, this system tried to help me, but in the end, it's pointing a spotlight on me and now I'm going to be attacked possibly and my family's going to be attacked as well. So a shame. And again, prayers out there to all the citizens out there. Please, if you're going to protest, do it peacefully, not violently. So anyways, Bob, thank you so much for this discussion tonight.
Brendan, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We will see everybody next week. Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.